You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Connect Community, good morning. Thank you for joining us for this online-only service. And as Sarah just mentioned, we are starting a brand new series called Parables. We're going to spend the month of December and probably into January sharing some parables, some stories that Jesus shared with his people. Jesus taught through parables. These are made-up stories to show a principle, to teach a principle, to teach valuable truths for us today. They have endured through the test of time, and they still stand today to teach us lessons and how to navigate life, how to connect to God, how to bless others. So I hope you can join us each week online and in person so that we can grow together and come closer to Jesus, because really the point of this series is that we may learn the heart of Christ, that we may come closer to Jesus, closer to who he is, and that we may learn from his stories, because December is all about Jesus, right? So the first parable we're going to highlight today is the parable of the banquet. Jesus shared this story. You can follow on the screens if you have your Bibles. We're going to read from Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. I'm reading from the ESV version. Let's go. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who were invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife and I therefore cannot come." So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to his servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." An intricate parable that Jesus shared to those hearing him that still has value for us today. It's been a tough year for many of us. So let me ask you, how's your life? How's your soul? As we get to this final stretch of 2020, how's your heart? Have you stopped to take inventory and analyze the impact that 2020 has had on you? The impact and what it has done to your spirit, what it has done to your connection with God, what it has done to your connection to your family, what this year has done to your drive. Some of you might say, "My life is thriving. I'm connected to God. I feel like I'm better than ever." But I'll venture to say that 2020 has left most of us, if not all of us, a bit bruised. Because when you started 2020, I bet this is what you had in mind. January 2020, this is what you thought. 2020, here we go. I want to ride on a convertible, hands up, down the highway, into the sunset. Beautiful landscape. A picture of what we hoped for and prayed for and expected 2020 to be. A beautiful ride. But instead, what you got was this. A mud pit. Stuck in a mud pit. And maybe what you felt like was this. I saw this one. I had to share. "I used to be pretty." And now you're beaten and bruised because 2020 has done a number on many of us. Now, this is not a message of discomfort. This is not a message that's of sadness. I just want to turn your attention to the reality of where you find yourself right now. Because if life is a journey, 2020 took us off-roading. We've been through ups and downs and valleys, mud, bad weather. We got stuck a couple times, tons of potholes. But here we are, still fighting, still in it, running with it, working, trying to hold on to it, and trying to hold it all together. If that's you, maybe your faith has taken a beating in 2020. Maybe your marriage has been bruised a little bit. Maybe your career had to be put on pause. And you find yourself, because of everything that has happened, you find yourself caring less and less about things that you once were passionate about. You used to care about things deeply and fight for it, and now you find yourself caring less and less about them. And it's not that anything major happened, it's just a combination and the compilation of everything that you've been through. It kind of left you a little bit numb. Your soul is caring less and less about everything. And maybe you haven't laughed for real, like belly laugh, in a long time. And if this is you, then you know the effect 2020 has had on you. Scripture says that worry weighs a person down. And the truth is that more than ever this year, more than any other year, we've had things to worry about. Because when you started this year, you started your year with the regular things you had to worry about. You started the year with your regular amount of worry, which was probably too much already. If you're a wife, a mom, you had to worry about your husband, your kids. If you're a husband, you had to worry about your family and your wife and things at work. If you're part of a team at work, you had to worry about projects and deadlines and things that had to be done. If you're looking for work, then you had to worry about bills, about finding a job. Now, to be honest, all of us have to worry about bills. It comes every month. But the truth is that those are worries that we all face. And perhaps you started the year with those worries already, because life brings those worries. Financial worries, health worries, relationship worries. And then on top of that, you throw a pandemic. On top of that, you throw a lockdown. On top of that, you throw the curveball of political divisiveness. On top of that, you throw injustice, racial injustice. And the weight of it is great, because it really doesn't matter who you are. If your heart is open, if your soul is open for what we have endured this year, it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, if you're poor or rich, if you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, Indian, your soul, your mind, your heart, it absorbs it all. And it counts as one thing: worry. And worry means weight. As the scripture says, worry weights us down. But hey, you got to keep going. You got to keep marching. You got to put your head down and keep working. You got to keep moving, because you got to earn. You got to keep the lights on. You got to keep the milk in the fridge. You got to keep the flour in the pantry. So you keep battling. You keep fighting, because those are responsibilities that you need to tend to. And as every adult, every head of household, every parent, every responsible adult, whether you're single or not, you have to tend to your responsibilities. And then, whether in the past or present, here comes this invitation. An invitation to a different kind of life, an invitation for a party. In other words, a kingdom that is not about eating, that is not about drinking, meaning it's not about the cares of this world, it's not about the comforts of this world. A kingdom that's not just about survival, a kingdom that is about righteousness, justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You have been invited to this feast. I have been invited to this feast. A celebration. Reason to rejoice. And you, perhaps then or now, can say, what? It doesn't make any sense. What do I have to rejoice about? What do you mean celebrate? What do you mean a feast? What do you mean joy? I'm barely making it. I'm overworked, overstimulated, and feeling numb. But the invitation stands, as we read in the parable. And I want to challenge you to pause right now at the beginning of the month, as we head into the close of 2020. Pause for a moment and consider. Consider this wild, consider this amazing and completely countercultural invitation that Christ has given us. See, this parable that Jesus shared, the parable that we just read, we're living it. You are living it. I am living it. And did you notice that in that parable, every single excuse seemed appropriate? See, it wasn't a wild excuse. Those excuses to us in 2020 seemed very reasonable. It sounded like something that if you told me as a pastor, I would be expected to understand and to pray for you. If you told somebody else, a family member, they would be expected to be supportive. If you told a friend, they would be expected to understand. Listen, I can't come to your party, my friend. I can't come to your party, brother, sister, because I bought a field and I must go see it. In other words, I bought a house, I bought a company, I bought land. It's not absurd. When you make investments, you got to care for it. You got to take care of it. I bought 5 yokes of oxen. What is that? I'm expanding my practice. I'm expanding my business. I'm expanding. I bought new machinery. I bought new tools. I have to learn about it. I downloaded a new software that I need to learn for my job. I need to get new skills. I need to oversee this new project. Make sure that the deadlines are met. I cannot come to your party. It's not absurd. It sounds like something responsible to me. It sounds like this is a responsible person. And my 2020 mind says, you got it, buddy. I got your back. Do what you got to do. Forget the party. Why would any of them stop to go to a party? That's how we think. But to understand Jesus' point here, we have to go deeper. Because he's not just teaching about responsibility. Jesus is teaching us about prioritizing our responsibilities. See, it's what should be number one in your life. It's what should come first in your life. See, God has invited us to a kind of life where he is active, where he is present, where he's with you every single time of the day. He wants to be the lover of your soul. He wants to be the one with you, the one that has your attention, the one that is sharing and receiving, taking your burden. This is not about abandoning your fields. This is not about abandoning your wife, abandoning your family, abandoning your husband, abandoning your kids. This is not about leaving your responsibilities. This is about what's meant to be first in your life. It's about what you are making a priority in your life. See, when things get tough, and they have gotten tough, whether you're positive about it, connected to God about it, or you're not even a Christian, but you're just trying to hold on, and maybe you're watching for encouragement. Things have gotten tough. And when things get tough, our tendency is to hold on. We hold on for dear life. We grab on those reins and we tighten our fists. Why? Because we want control. We not only want to control the present, we just don't want to control now. We also want to control the outcome. We want to control what's going to happen. See, and you might feel that way because we have to make sure that things end well. You have to make sure that things end well. That's your responsibility. It's on your shoulders. And you can say that, JD, it's on my shoulders. I have to do it. So you have to do it. You have to make sure that the project is finished and it's And the deadline is met. You have to make sure that your kids have supplies. You have to make sure that the package gets delivered. You have to make sure that the staff, she, he, does what needs to be done. That they do what needs to be done. And the motivation might not be bad. It might be good motivation, good intention, good desire. But what happens in the process of taking care of business, of taking care of things, what happens in the process is that you take on all the worry. You take on all the weight. And in that process of taking it on, you reject the Father's invitation. The Father's invitation to a banquet, to be with Him, to be in His presence, to live life with Him, having Him as your Lord. It happens ever succinctly. Listen, I said this, we're in December. 'Tis the time for joy. And isn't it interesting that when the birth of Jesus was announced, it was announced to shepherds, but it was announced as a reason for joy. It was an announcement for joy. Look at what the angel told the shepherds on the field. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now think about the shepherds on the field. They could have easily dismissed it, aside from the part that it was an angel appearance. That's probably what got them convinced. But if you just take this announcement and they just analyze it cold-heartedly and completely logically, they could easily say, hey, what do you mean joy? Do you see my situation? I am sleeping with my sheep on the field so that they don't get stolen. That's the kind of community and that's kind of the kind of reality I live in. Our country has been taken over by the Romans. We don't even have a country anymore. Our people are abused. They are beaten. Our women are mistreated. We are taxed way more than we can afford. What do you mean joy? Where is this joy? They could have said, you know, I would love to go celebrate the birth of a baby. But as you can see, I'm doing important things. I have things to take care of. I got stuff to take care of. I'm on the clock. I don't have time to go worry about a baby in a manger. I got stuff to do. See, many of you, could it be that many of you, you're lacking joy right now? Not because joy isn't available, but you're lacking joy because instead of answering to the invitation to be with your Heavenly Father, you are minding the worries of this world and you're putting them at the top of your list. You're prioritizing the things that are weighing you down. You're prioritizing the things that are bringing you anxiety. And you're choosing worry over joy. Could it be that you are choosing the burden of anxiety over the levity of faith? And I want to encourage you today. I want to shake you off your routine and shake you off your numbness today. I want to encourage you and shake you off your worry, shake you off your need for control, and remind you that Christ came to bring joy to the world. You are invited to the feast. It's time for joy. When Jesus came to this world, the world is in a really bad shape. But He didn't come with an announcement of destruction. He didn't come with an announcement of despair. The announcement was joy to the world. That's right, joy, feast, party. That's why every other Sunday we gather together as a church to celebrate. That's why every week through this pandemic, we have met together. We have not stopped to meet together, not one week. Every single week we gather together, whether online or in person. Why? Because we need the reminder. We need the reminder that Christ is our joy, not the economy, not the political climate, not whether we are going through a pandemic or not. Christ is our joy. He is our salvation. He is the reason for joy. And here is what this invitation is really about. It's about choosing surrender and trust over worry and control. Yes, be a man that is responsible. Be a woman that is responsible. Take care of your family. But while you take care of your family, while you take care of your responsibilities, do that while being a man and a woman of God. Be a child of God, committed to Him, connected to Him, present in His presence. See, it's about being a student, a son, a daughter, a man, a woman, who is connected to the source of life, connected to the source of love and strength and peace, connected to God Himself. And you have been invited to this party. You have been invited to this feast. You have been invited to His presence, to this kingdom that has no end. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to connect to God and honor Him daily? Are you going to prioritize and put God as number one? Or are you going to prioritize the good and appropriate excuses that you have? We all have them. Listen, if this sounds a bit strong, it's because I want to ask you to think about your decisions. I'm asking you to think about the decisions that you're making every single day and not just go with the flow of the current fear and anxiety that surrounds us all. What are you going to do about it? Listen to another parable. Short parable that Jesus shared. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man or a woman found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Have you found that treasure? Have you discovered that joy? Have you connected to God in such a way that all your worries, all your troubles, all the burdens of sin have been lifted off of you? Have you opened your heart to the love of the Father and given your soul to His care? I tell you, if you have crossed a line, it's overwhelming and it's amazing. But look at this parable. Once you find the treasure, you let go of it all. You surrender it all. That becomes the most important thing in your life. That is the appropriate response. Once you've connected to God, and some of you, that treasure, the sense of freedom, the sense of connected to God, it's growing dim in a past. It's becoming a memory, not a daily reality. And I want to encourage you to not allow that fire to go out, but to connect to God every single day, to remind your soul that Christ is the reason, that God is number one. He's inviting you into His presence. He wants to care for you. He wants you to lay all your burdens down in His presence, all your worries, all that you have carried in 2020. He wants you to leave on this side of the calendar. Can you come to Him? Can you lay your worries at His feet? And can you sit at His table? He wants to lavish you with His goodness. See, this parable that we read, the first parable about the feast, not only offers the sweetness of the King's presence, but it also shares the bitterness and the bitter reality of life apart from Him. And if your days have been dark, if your soul has dried, if your spirit is dim, I want to ask you to allow the light of Christ to shine through. Allow the presence of God to come into your life, even right now, and bring His goodness. He loves you so much. He wants to be with you every single day. And I pray that you may not just watch this message, but that you may receive it, and that these seeds may find good soil in your heart, and that you may open your heart to the love of Christ. Because in Him, you will find strength for your soul. In Him, you will find encouragement for your spirit, and in him you will discover this, that you can make it. Maybe you're watching this today, and this has been a crossroads moment for you. Maybe God is speaking to you right now and he's calling you into his kingdom. Let me encourage you to answer to this invitation by connecting to God and committing your heart to him. Will you pray this simple prayer with me today, a prayer of dedication? Say, "Dear God, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I leave my past behind. Guide me from this day forward, every single day. My heart is yours. Amen." Listen, with a simple prayer, we believe something new began. I ask you to fill in a connect card if you haven't already. Let us know that you made a decision by putting in a hand emoji. I want to remind you of a couple things. First, we have a missions giving campaign. I know a lot of you have reserved the year-end giving, and I want to encourage you to apply that toward whatever God leads in your heart to give to this ministry. You have a big vision for 2021 that we're going to share with you in January. But in this season, we are also partnering with World Compassion, and the information is on the screen for you right now. You're gonna see that there's two projects that we're supporting. One is in Myanmar, the other one is in Iran. You can support either a family or a child, and we're gonna give them supplies, we're gonna give them a Bible, things that we take for granted that they can't get access to, which is Bible and the stories of Christ for children so that parents can raise them in the light of the gospel. So if you wanna be a part of that, the contribution amounts are on the screen, and you can do that through the month of December. We're going to send this offering to World Compassion and be part of this project with them. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for being a part of Connect Community. Those of you who have gone through this pandemic with us, we love you so much. Remember, next Sunday is our second to last in-person service of the year. I would encourage you to come and join us December 13. And then the week right after that, it's the one time that we're not having a 14-day break between services. On December 20th is our last service of the year in person. It's our Christmas service. I'd love to have you there, and we'd love to celebrate together with you before the end of the year. Stay together with us every single week. We're going to continue to connect to God, connect to his goodness. And until then, we love you. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you for watching. God bless you.